We just kind of been making some notes as we read and have been reading through the book of John, and just different things along the way that stuck out to us as we went through there. And I even just made some notes. Sometimes it would be just a word that would stick out in a verse, such as Sunday night. I preached Sunday night out of John 11, and how that there was just that one word that just seemingly just jumped off the page and arrested my attention. And I've been in this thing long enough till I know that when a word or a verse, something catches your attention, God is trying to say something. God is trying to speak. And you may not see on the surface right there what it is. But if there's something there that arrests your attention, you need to spend some time meditating on that and praying over it. God, there's something about that word. And so anyway, Sunday night's message came out of such an experience in our devotions one morning. And so tonight as will be as also. But Sunday night we preached on a message that's really been a working in my heart. Even since then, I've been working on it, and God's given me some more things. And I even told my wife today, I said, just for the slightest little nudge from the Lord, I'd go right back and preach that again tonight. Amen. Because it's still a working in my heart, and that tells me God's not done with it yet, at least with me. And maybe I'll preach it somewhere else or something. But I preached a message Sunday night on scared of the dark. Scared of the dark. Well, I've been doing some research on that phobia that is attached to that, what all it implies and what all it means and some of the evidences of that. But in John chapter 3, we have some more wording here, some more scripture about the darkness. And I don't know, don't have a title. I guess we could preach on Scared of the Dark Part 2. Amen. I trust God to speak to us about it. Amen. Speak to us about this, about avoiding darkness, of walking in darkness, and we do that when we walk in disobedience to God's Word, which is light. That's what light is God's Word. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Jesus said He was the light of the world, and then in Matthew 5, He said to His people, "Ye are the light of the world," and the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Light. So, anything to do with God is light. And when you get saved, God calls you out of darkness. God delivers you from the power of darkness. And we'll be looking at some of those verses in a little while. But let's read in John chapter 3 and verse number, we'll just start in with verse number, well, let's just start with verse 16. I don't see how we can go wrong with reading that verse for sure. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." I believe that's pretty plain. I believe it's pretty blunt. I believe it's right to the point that the world might be saved through Him. Jesus is the only Savior of the world. He's not one of them. He is the only. And I believe this verse further verifies that along with many other verses. And that's a message in itself. And then it goes on to say in verse 18, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." Now we could stop right there and shout for at least 20 years, amen, over that right there. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." Isn't that a blessing? That is why I cannot go to hell. Amen. Amen. I cannot go to hell because there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Romans 8 and verse number 1. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." I like that. He that believeth not. So we have a contrast. There's only two groups of people on planet Earth. Almost 7 billion people on planet Earth. Population's growing rapidly every day, but there's only two groups of people. He that believeth on him, verse 18, and then now he that believeth not. So there's only two. Believers and those that believe not. So there's which class are you in tonight? Amen. There's no middle ground. There's no third party. There is either you're either a believer tonight, or you are a non-believer. The Bible said, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." You don't have to wait to some future event. You don't have to wait to some future judgment. God's done past judgment. God's done held your case. God's done had the trial. And you've been found guilty from birth of being a sinner. You was born, you was conceived a sinner, and then when you reached that time when you knew right and wrong, good and evil, then you became a sinner by choice. Amen. And when you become a sinner by choice, that's when you become accountable for your destination, for is heaven or hell. But the Bible said that he are condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now then, let's notice verse 19, 20, and 21. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Note that statement. That light is come into the world. Now just taking that statement at glance, it would automatically show you that there's no light here. That there's no natural light in this world. If there's light, it had to come here. It had to come into this world from an outside source. So that shows you right there, there's no salvation in this world. Of any worldly means. You can't create it, manufacture it. If there's no potions or pills that can produce it. I'll tell you, if light comes in, it's going to come into this world and did 2,000 years ago from an outside source. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness. Note that. Light came into the world, but instead of men choosing light and loving light and desiring light and making a direction or an advancement toward light, they said, "We love darkness." And I may mention this a little bit later on, but lest I don't, I want to say it now. Darkness is a nature. It's also an atmosphere. Men have a nature, my friend, of darkness, but also you're living in a world of darkness, and both of those are in agreement. Both of those complement each other. You have a world that says amen to a depraved nature. And then you have a depraved nature in humanity that says amen to a sinful world. Men love darkness. In other words, men, if you could just take that statement, look at it tonight, men loved darkness. That tells me that if it was left up to men, they would have preferred Christ to have never come. Because He brought the light. He is the light. And they loved darkness, they would have loved if He had never showed up. Sinners don't want Jesus to be here. This world does not want Jesus to be here. This world hates Him. Amen. That's exactly right. And why that God's people would want to cater to the world that hates the Lord, I don't understand that. Why does people that claim to be saved and are children of light want to walk in a direction that is complementary to a world that the Bible says is darkness? That is full, a world that is full of men that love darkness. Why? I don't understand that. Amen. Don't ever think lightly of worldliness. Worldliness, when you talk about this a world and worldliness, you're talking about a world that hates the Lord, hates the Word of God, hates Christ. Amen? I guarantee it. And why a professing believer would want to be world-like is beyond me. Seemed to me like you'd want to be like the one that sacrificed to save you. The world don't care nothing for you. The world has done nothing to save you. The world, of course, cannot do anything to save you. In fact, the world does, if they're going to do anything, the world and the world system and the God of this world is going to do everything that it can to make you a more hardened sinner and a more wicked sinner and a more ungodly sinner. Not going to try to help you. But men love darkness. That's been stated back when Jesus was dealing with Nicodemus. And guess what? It can still be said accurately tonight, 2010, men loves darkness. Amen. So darkness is a nature. Darkness is an atmosphere. And I'll comment more about that in a minute, but let's read on. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, here's their attitude. Hey, look at the world and the population thereof and all of those that's doing evil. Let me tell you why they do evil. Well, the Bible done said it because they love it. They love darkness. They love the atmosphere that they can do their deeds in. But here's another driving force. They hate the light. They hate the light. Amen. Classify yourself. What's your attitude toward darkness? What's your attitude toward the light? And that classifies you regardless of what you profess. Regardless to what you claim. Amen. If there's a love in you for darkness, you are not saved. Period. Or if you need a second description to help you, if you hate the light, you are not saved. There's nobody saved that hates the light. Nobody saved that loves darkness. Nobody. And you don't have to go to another county, state, or country to find a bunch of them, friend. They're all around here that don't have no desire for purity and holiness and godliness. They're living in sin and they love darkness. They live for darkness. They make plans to get in it and stay in it. The darker the better. They love it, friend, and they hate the light. Hand them a track and they'll throw it on the ground or slam the door in your face or never go to church. Why? Because that's where the gospel of light is preached. They don't want to be around people that's living in the light and walking in the light because that light, my friend, does some damage and conviction to their darkness and they don't like it. Amen. 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 I think we'll just go ahead and say it plain. Amen. I hope I wasn't stuttering. Hope nobody misunderstood plain English. If you hate the light and love darkness, you are not saved. Period. Amen. 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 Let's go on. Love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Doeth and hateth are connected. Doeth has got an ETH on it. There's a practice there. There's a lifestyle there. God's people are not sinless. We just sin less. God's people are not perfect, but we strive for it. We desire it. We hate sin. The Bible says that plainly. In two or three different places that God's people hate sin. We love righteousness and we hate sin. Your attitude towards sin tells a whole lot about you. Amen. 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 But the Bible says here, he that doeth, that is, it's a practice, it's a way of life, it's a habit to you. Amen. I don't believe a person that's habitually living in sin knows God. Amen. He that doeth evil hateth, and that's also got an E-T-H on it, hateth the light. Neither cometh, there's E-T-H as well, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth, everybody's not in that verse 20. I know you look at the world and you think everybody's in sin and everybody's going to hell and everybody's wicked and everybody's ungodly, but I'm going to tell you there are people, amen, scattered throughout the population of this planet. My friend, that's in verse number 21. He that doeth righteousness, he that doeth truth, cometh to the light. Not everybody hates the light. Amen. Not everybody loves darkness, thank God. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, lest his deeds, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. I want to comment just two or three things down through here about darkness that I think is worth mentioning. By the way, can I just deal with this one right here? You say, preacher, what is darkness? We ought to be scared of it as God's people because we've been delivered from it. We've been called out of it. We've been saved from it. Amen. We're no longer a part of it. We're not children of the night, 1 Thessalonians 5. We are children of the day. There is a distinct difference between a saved person and a lost person. Amen. There's no two greater opposites on planet Earth tonight than darkness and light. No two greater differences. Amen. Amen. There ought to be a distinct difference between a saved person and a lost person. When it's dark, you don't have to ask anybody, is it dark? And when it's light, you don't have to ask anybody if it's light. It's very obvious which one is which. It's very obvious. Amen. And I believe if you're walking as a child of light, it will be visible. I believe it will be personal. I believe it will be practical. It will be obvious. Amen. And if you're walking as a children of the night, amen, and in darkness, it will be likewise obvious. And they never can mix. What fellowship hath light with darkness? It's a funny thing to me. There's a whole lot of people claim to be in the light and of the light and born of from the God of light and from the Scriptures of light and have the Spirit of light inside them. Amen. But yet they sure get along really good with lost people. Say amen right there. When I got saved, they thought I'd be back down, my friend, to the parties. They thought, yeah, they told me, said, you'll be back. Said, you just on a little religious kick and you'll be back. After you run this little religious route and get this out of your system, you'll be back. Well, it's been 29 years and I've not been back. I guess that kick is still kicking. Amen. I guess it's still a working. Amen. In fact, I don't think they're looking for me back no more because even at a couple of my graduation reunions, they've allowed me to preach to them. I mean, it was a plan. I was invited to come and preach to my class. Amen. Guess what? One of the first things I told them the first time I ever preached was, I didn't ever go back. You looked for me back. You thought I'd be back. Amen. But I didn't go back. Why? I was severed from that. I was delivered from that. Amen. Light don't go back to darkness. They're in opposites. They're opposites. Amen. Well, glory to God. That's good. But darkness, my friend, is the absence of light. You don't make darkness. You don't create darkness. Darkness is wherever light is not. Amen. And darkness can't control light. The darkness of an entire universe can't put out the smallest match. Light shineth out of darkness. John 1:5, light shineth out of darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness couldn't arrest it. The darkness can't put it out. So quit blaming the darkness of the day for your spiritual lack. Amen. Amen. Let your little light shine. Brighten the corner where you are. I'm telling you again, darkness is the absence of light. And this is probably as good a one as I've ever come up with, and got it after I got to church tonight. Amen. You know when darkness takes place out there naturally? Here in just a few hours? You know what happens when darkness comes into our environment, into our atmosphere? Son, this is good. Lord had to give it to me. I ain't smart enough to figure it out. Darkness will come into our atmosphere here in this in just a couple, 2 or 3 hours or less when the world gets between us and the sun. Man alive, that's good. You say, preacher, has the sun quit shining when it gets dark? Oh no, it's still putting out the rays. It's still putting out the warmth. It's as much the sun now as it was when God first created it. I want to tell you, but the reason it's dark here is the world comes between us where we live and where the sun is shining. And that's where spiritual darkness comes in our life. It's when we allow the world, the world system, the world's affection, the world's desires gets between us and the S-O-N. That's when darkness comes into a church. That's why I'm against worldliness. That's why I'm against it. I'm against it. I've been preaching against it for 29 years and I'll continue to do so. I'm against it. Why? It'll get between you and the sun. Boy, this, y'all ready for something else good? What few wheels is up there is a turning. The sun is 93 million miles away. And soon as it peaks up into the horizon, its rays are here. I don't think man knows of anything more powerful than the sun. In fact, our entire solar system evolves and rotates around it. But come on, here comes another one. But not even the sun, as powerful as it is, can shine through the world. Sun! We might as well just, we could dismiss right there at one statement. It's more than we can handle. Not even the sun, that is the most powerful thing that we know of, that we can see, that was created of God. It cannot shine through the world. That's why darkness comes. The world can hide it. As powerful as God is, worldliness can stop Him from shining. Worldliness in our world is a world of darkness. And it hates light, and this world, my friend, can block it, the rays of God from shining into your life. Say amen right there. Son, ain't that good? Hallelujah. So darkness happens when the sun is on the other side of the world from you. Oh, I think about that and some more. Amen. That's good. But there's some things stated about darkness here in the text. There are several contrasts. There are several opposites in these verses. You got he that believeth and he that believeth not. You have you have darkness and you have light, and then you have hate and love, and then you have condemned and not condemned. And you have he that doeth evil, and then you have he that doeth truth. So there's opposites. But here's some of the things I just want to share. Just the Lord gave me, I'm just reading, my printer wouldn't work. My printer won't work for some reason. That's all right. So I'm preaching right off of my little devotional scratch pad I wrote down. The first thing I want to notice tonight is this. That darkness, I want you to notice, first of all, the choice of darkness. The choice of darkness. And I get that as we look in verse 19, and this is the condemnation that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness. And this word jumped off the page, rather than light. In other words, when there's the option, when there is a choice to be made, darkness or light, they will go with the rather. They will choose to love darkness rather than light. Listen, darkness is a choice. Sinners are in darkness. We know they were born in sin. The Bible teaches that. They were born in sin. David said, did not my mother, in sin did my mother conceive me. We know that. We know that fallen nature is passed on generation to generation, my friend, and it's just a fact. But when you get to that point, as I talked about earlier, that you know right and wrong, guess what? Then darkness is a choice. You choose to rebel. You choose to be disobedient. You choose to not read the Word of God. You choose not to pray. You choose to avoid sources of light. You choose friends of darkness. Darkness is a choice. Rather, choosing rather. There's an option. There's an either or. There's a plus and a minus. There's a positive, a negative. And my friend, you choose it. I believe this. We are where we are spiritually by choice. Nobody gets saved without a choice. I believe that. I'm not a Calvinist. Don't even know one. Are you listening? A choice is involved in your salvation. Are you listening? And I'll tell you, there's a choice involved in your spirituality. Amen. You can choose to walk toward the light. You can choose to walk in the light. You can choose to say yes to God. You can choose to be a life of obedience. You can choose a life that prays God. What is your will for my life? You can choose that, or else you can choose characteristics and directions of darkness. And even as children of light, we, God's people in this building, including me, have been times in our Christian life that we have chose, we've made choices of darkness. Remember what I said a while ago? Darkness is a nature. Guess why you make the choice of darkness? It's when the flesh is in the driver's seat. The Spirit of God will never choose darkness. The spiritual divine nature in you will never choose darkness. If you're making you're making choices of darkness, amen, and darkness is always a type of sin in the Scripture, amen. And when you make choices in that direction, guess what nature is in the driver's seat? It is a nature of darkness that loves the atmosphere of darkness and produces the actions of darkness. I'm going to say this right here, for all of us, for all of our benefits. There's not one sin listed in the black catalog of sin in that Bible that you do not possess the potential of committing. I'm talking about saved folk. We have the full potential because we possess still that old nature of darkness that loves darkness. Amen. My flesh is not the least bit saved. Amen. And I'm reminded of it often. My flesh is headed back to the dust. My flesh is not even going to heaven. My flesh is so irreversible and hopeless, it cannot be saved. My flesh is going back to the dust from whence it came. Now listen, amen, not even God can save your flesh. Your flesh is not savable. And if you listen to it today, it doesn't matter, in my case, been saved 29 years, or if you've been saved 29 days or 29 minutes, it doesn't matter. You listen to your flesh, it's as wicked as it's ever been. It loves darkness as much now as it ever has. And what was once a weakness to your flesh, used to in your prior to conversion life, it is still a weakness now. And if you get in a area, run around with people that will tempt that, you will find out that that weakness can become a strength once again in your life. Amen. Amen. You can't put your flesh on a rope. That won't work. You can't put your flesh on a rope and say, well, I've got it made, preacher. I've got her under control, preacher. I've got it handled. I can handle it, preacher. No, you couldn't handle it before you got saved. And you can't handle it after you get saved. You better not put it on a rope. You better put it on the cross and let it be crucified. The only way your flesh will not give you the fits that it is so have the potential of doing is if it is reckoned dead. When a man was carrying a cross in down the street, my friend, he was making it very clear, my old life is over. When a man was nailed to a cross in crucifixion, he is making a statement there visibly, I will never return to my old life of sin. When a man is nailed to a cross, he's telling people, I'm making no further plans of my own. Because the cross identifies the end. Death. So darkness is a choice. Men love darkness rather than light. And that shows further the depravity. And I believe in the total depravity of man. It's natural for a man to reject the gospel. It's natural for a man to say no to God. It's natural. It's natural for a person not to want to read a gospel tract or to hear a gospel sermon or to hear some gospel singing. It's natural to not want to go to the house of God. It is natural. Why? They're controlled by the only nature they have. See? A lost person is a one nature being. A lost person possesses an Adamic nature, and that's it. Human nature. Fallen, sinful, darkness-loving nature. It's a choice. I got to go on. Let me mention secondly, of course, we've already dealt with this. I'll just bump it again in case you didn't get it the first time. But I think not only will we see in this passage the choice of darkness, but I also see the corruption of darkness. The Bible says that men love darkness rather than light. What's this? Because their deeds are evil. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil. Darkness is sin. Anybody walking toward darkness, walking in darkness, is not going to be producing godliness. Is not going to be producing holiness. Is not going to be producing Christ-likeness. Brother, darkness is sin. And if you choose and I choose, make dark choices, choices for darkness, even though we're saved, it will put sin in our life. I've been about scratching my head about since Sunday night and even tonight that God is sending these two messages back to back to our church after we had a revival. Are you listening? Had one of the church members say to me this week, said, preacher, what happened to our revival? Where's it at? Where did it go? Huh? Name but one thing. There's only two options. Light or darkness. I'm not the Holy Ghost, and thankfully I'm not. I'm not omniscient, meaning all-knowing, and I'm glad I'm not. What little I do know depresses me sometimes, but I want to tell you, I promise you, based upon the atmosphere and all of that, there is S-I-N in the camp. Somebody is making choices of darkness in their life, and that could be a wide range of application. That could be choices of darkness of thoughts, attitudes, actions, and many other things you could attach to that. Amen. So there is the corruption of darkness. Watch this. Men love darkness. That's atmosphere. rather than light because their deeds are evil. Watch this, Lord, give this to me. Atmosphere and actions go together. Men love darkness and their deeds are evil. He that doeth evil hateth the light and will not come to the light lest his deeds be reproved. Are you listening? Oh, I'm talking about the corruption of darkness. Your actions is testifying what atmosphere you're living in, what nature is controlling you. Amen. So there's the choice of darkness. There is the corruption of darkness. And this has really got a hold of my heart. And it's as simple as it can be. There's the control of darkness. Watch this right here. Men love darkness, verse 19, rather than light, because the deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Watch this. Neither cometh to the light. I'm talking about the control of darkness. Yes, it's a choice. And yes, it's corrupt, but it also controls you. That's one reason why we ought to be, as God's people, scared of the dark, is because if it ever gets control, it will control your moves, it'll control your mind, it'll control your morals, it'll control you. The Bible said right there that they will not come to the light. Do you see that? Showing right there that it is a possibility. There is an availability of light to them. But they will not, neither cometh to the light. That is, it's a willful choice. They're being controlled. They're being hindered. They are in a bondage that's restricting them from coming to the light. Darkness controls you. Ecclesiastes, in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 14, talks about the fool walketh in darkness. You say, I can handle it, preacher. I'll just flirt around here with it and I'll just kind of explore with it, and I'll just kind of experiment with it. Hey, I want to tell you, friend, the Bible speaks of the power of darkness. There is a power, according to the book of Colossians, friend, there is a power that is associated with darkness. And brother, it's a power that is greater than you are. And I want to tell you, friend, how great it is. It took God sending light from heaven into this world of darkness so that we could be saved. That's how powerful it is. I'm talking about the control of darkness. Amen. God help us, Jesus. So there's the control of darkness. Neither cometh to the light. I believe when God saves somebody, that He'll start a work in their life. They may not even be conscious of it as far as the who's doing it, but they'll be God working in your life to start breaking down the control of darkness in your life. Because if God does not do that, you will never come to the light, and nobody ever gets saved without coming to the light. God saves, hello, God saves nobody, no time, nowhere, and leaves them in darkness. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, and if there's any hope whatsoever of you getting saved, I'll tell you, it'd be a wise choice on your part to start heading toward the light. Amen. Nothing wrong with telling sinners to seek after God. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. That's what the Bible says. If you're interested in getting saved, you don't just stay laying around in the thick, deep darkness of sin. You don't just keep making dark choices and living in sin and saying, well, one day it'll happen and maybe if it, you know. No, friend, I want to tell you, God will start putting a dissatisfaction in your heart for darkness. You'll start thinking, you know what, this don't satisfy like it once did. You'll think, praise God, amen. You won't say praise God, but there's a praise God there to be had. You'll think, you know what? This doesn't satisfy me like it did. There's got to be something better than this. Amen. All this drinking and cussing and carousing and junk. There's got to be something better. Who's doing that? That's not natural because the Bible said, men love darkness if left alone. If left to yourself, you will love it till you split hell wide open. You will love it, my friend, all the way to the end. Thank God, the God of light starts getting in your way and dealing with you and speaking to you and starting to turn the light on in your life. Darkness would have never let me go. Nor will I ever have let it go. I would have embraced darkness all the way to my condemnation. I would have hugged it all the way to hell because I was a match for it. Actions and atmosphere goes together. Men love it. I would have hugged on it and kissed on it. I would have embraced it all the way to the eternal ruin of my soul if it hadn't have been for the intervening work of God. Amen. I can't explain it. I don't know how God does it. I just know the only hope of getting out of darkness is for the God of light to move in your direction and start turning the light on. Hallelujah. Let the light shine in the midst of darkness. Amen. Even the God of this world, the prince and power of the air, the devil, my friend, that blinds the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. He said, I'm not going to let them go. They're my agent. They're my missionary. They're my servant. I'm their master. They love darkness and I'm the God of darkness. And amen. And then all of a sudden, God started shining. I mean, listen. Well, Brother Mike, if it hadn't been for God working in my heart. 20 years old before I got saved, and I'd heard hundreds and hundreds of messages. Hundreds. Hundreds. Been exposed to probably more God and more gospel than most people will ever in their entire lifetime. But I didn't get saved. I loved sin, lived for it. Made plans to get in it and the deeper the better. The darker the better. Are you listening? But thank God I had a praying mama and I had a praying daddy. And thank God I had praying grandparents and had aunts and uncles that prayed and Lord only knows who else called my name after God in prayer that God bottled up those prayers. Thank God in glory and amen. And at the age of 20, God began to, well, amen, God even before that began to work in my heart. And God began to work in my heart. I didn't know it was Him. But on January 20th, 1981, second night of a 7-week revival, the God of light called me out of darkness. That's a Bible phrase. Called out of darkness. Amen. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, if you want to read it, we were called out of darkness. You would have never come out of darkness had not God showed interest. Amen. Had not God took the initiative and called you out of darkness. You say, preacher, give us a Bible example of God's calling power out of darkness. In John chapter 11, there was a man by the name of Lazarus that was dwelling in a tomb of darkness. He was dwelling in the death of darkness. And there wasn't no hope of getting out. I want to tell you, the hope of Lazarus is the hope of every sinner. When the God of light manifest in the flesh stand at the tomb of your depravity and says, come forth after calling your name. Guess what? Lazarus, the Bible said, came forth. Amen. Woo! Glory! I'm glad Jesus called me out of darkness. Man outside says, oh no. That cannot happen. He's been dead too long. He's done stinking and he's done hopeless and he's done beyond any hope. Amen. Probably what some thought about me. But Jesus said that may be true for Dr. Religion. That may be true for old Dr. Reformation. But let Dr. Jesus step up. Hallelujah. Has the power of God in His words. And He says, come forth. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Well, how I got on all that, but I liked it. Felt good. The control of darkness. May we be scared of the dark because of its grip in our life. Because you can't get around darkness without darkness getting on you. You can't get around darkness without it getting in you. You can't get around darkness without you getting in it. God's people, the last point there is the condemnation or of darkness. There's only one thing that can deal with darkness. Now I know we can put spaceships on the moon. And Lord only knows where else. I mean, we have got technology that is unparalleled on planet Earth. But it's always been true since Genesis 1 and verse 2, when darkness was upon the face of the deep, till the present day, there's only one thing that can deal with darkness. It's not technology, it's not education, it's not reformation, it is L-I-G-H-T, light. You can't build a wall thick enough to keep out darkness. You can put bulletproof windows. But here after a while, when these lights in here are off, the darkness out there is going to come into here. And you can't stop it. But as long as there's a light on in here. Amen! As long as there's a light on in here, darkness has to sit back and say, well, I can't go no further. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about there's only one thing in your life that can deal with darkness. And that's light. Walk in it. Allow its principles to govern your life. David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As long as you've got a lamp, darkness, even the darkness of the entire universe, might be back so far, pressing in, but it cannot overcome, as John 1:5 talks about, and darkness comprehended it not. Darkness cannot overcome it. Light is the greater power. Oh, glory to God. You say, preacher, it's awful dark and all the power of sin. Light is the greater power. Light is the greater power. If we had in this building complete darkness, Nothing you could do to push that darkness out of here. You can fuss at it. You can say, I don't like it dark in here. You can even say, I rebuke you, darkness, in the name of Jesus, and it's going to hang right in here. Ain't but one thing that'll deal with darkness, and that's light. Light a match, light a flashlight, turn a light on. Darkness instantly has to bow away because the greater source is light. That's why the devil don't want you to live for God, is because you are light. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God did not create you. Listen, when you get saved, you are a new creature in Christ. And God does not create you, and you are a new creation. You are. God don't recap. God don't remodel. God don't remold. God remakes. God makes you a new creature. And you are not made for darkness. That's why when it gets dark, Brother Carroll, we can't see. Now a wolf can see. An old fox can see. But you can't see because you're not created for the darkness. If you were to be put in a complete darkness, you would go insane in just a matter of a short period of time. You say, I can handle it, preacher. No, you can't. You're not made to live in it. You're made to live at what you can see. God give you eyes to see in the light, not in the darkness. You'd go insane. That darkness would, and I heard an illustration of it where they was preparing, who was it? Was it Brother Willis? Tell us about Splunkers. Was it him telling us about that, where they were training men to deal with darkness? I can't remember if it was him. Training men, they put them in that room saying, you know, this is what it's going to be like in a complete blackout, no light, can't even see the hand in front of your face. And they were going to put them in there and close it where it's complete darkness for I believe it was 20-something minutes. And all them big, tough guys think, man, I can handle that. And they put them in there, and after just a very short few minutes, they were screaming and they were in hysterics. And then they come back in there and told them that it had only been just a very few minutes. It hadn't even got started good. You were not made for darkness. That's where our misery comes in. That's where our misery comes in, and our loss and lack of joy, amen, and enjoyment of the things of God, is that we're thinking darkly and pursuing darkness and allowing our fleshly nature, the nature of darkness, to be in control and influence in our life. If you were to live a period of time in complete darkness, or even in darkness like we have, you'd go blind. You know why? You weren't made for it, friend. We're children of light. We're children of light. Quit flirting with the darkness. Well, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. I like it, don't you? There's only one condemnation to darkness, and that's light, as revealed here in the Scripture. Acts 26 and verse 18, here's what Paul said when he said, God, well, let's just read. I want to read that right quick. Acts 26, and I'm right now done. Acts 26. Acts 26 and verse 18. Paul's one of the greatest Christians, greatest missionaries ever was. Here's what he said. Look at 26:18. Let's read verse 17. deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You know what Paul, God said, Paul, I'm sending you to them to turn them from darkness. To turn them from darkness to light. So if people gets out of darkness, they've got to be turned to go in a different direction. Amen. Colossians 1 and verse 13. Let's read this verse right quick. Colossians 1 and 13. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 1:13. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Boy, I like that, don't you? And then, of course, I'll read this verse in 1 Peter 2 and 9. I referenced it a moment ago. 1 Peter 2 and 9. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you'd show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Thank God for that out and that in. Been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. I like that, don't you? Let's all stand to our feet. May God add the blessings to the reading and preaching of His Word. Now, like I said, I don't know if that'd be Scared of the Dark Part 2, but it's dealing right with that same thing. Lord, to be afraid of the dark because of it's no friend of Christianity. It's no friend of light. It's an opposite. And Lord, to be afraid of it.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.